south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
You know, with all this COVIDiot stuff going on, you've got to ask yourself the question, when the vaccine comes, are you going to take it? And you're wondering, how could I ask that question? Because you know, the vaccine's going to come and they're going to make it mandatory, right? Just like in most states, your kids can't go to school unless they're vaccinated. Well, you know, there's a reason why they call Latin America the third world, because a lot of things don't operate like they do up in the first world. Now, of course, you can imagine if they're going to make the vaccine mandatory up in the first world, they're going to make it mandatory in the third world too. However, if you recall a couple of shows ago, I told the story about a gringo from Miami who flew in with his Cuban girlfriend. And when they arrived in the airport in Panama City, they took a saliva swab and blood from her, but he, being the libertarian type, wasn't having any of it. So he just slipped the healthcare worker, nurse, or whoever the official was, taking the blood and the saliva swab. $50, though it could have been 20, can't remember. And she just waved him through. No blood, no saliva. And people wonder why so many smart, free-spirited, libertarian types moved to Latin America. Now, I'm not saying you should do anything illegal here. And what I'm going to have to suggest next is something you'll have to decide for yourself. But the fact is, I've been living in Latin America 30-plus years now. And I know the whole Latin American mindset is that rules, almost all of them copied from first-world rulemakers, are extremely flexible. They can be bent, twisted, buried, tied in knots, and, of course, broken in half with ease. All it takes is a wink and some grease. I mean, look, when bribing cops is a way of life, backdating contracts and legal forms, done all the time. When cheating on your taxes, or I should say, tax avoidance, is a national pastime. Where million-dollar houses are valued on the books for 50 or 60 grand, again, to beat the tax man. Where $5 will get you to the front of any government line. And the list goes on and on. Well, if you don't think you could get the form or card or whatever you're going to need to prove that you've had the vaccine, if you think one of those documents can't be obtained on the sly for the right price, then obviously you've never lived in Latin America. The fact is, I've already spoken to a few lawyers and doctors in various Latin countries myself. And of course, I brought the vaccine thing up and how it's a fact that so many gringos and expats are getting the hell out of Dodge just to get out from under the thumb of Big Brother, with a huge percentage of them unwilling to take the vaccine. And you know, Latin lawyers and medical professionals sympathize with that. And when I mentioned the idea of possibly getting a medical doctor to sign off on the document or card that says you've had the COVIDiot vaccine, when in reality, maybe you haven't. Well, let's just put it this way. I got a lot of half smiles and winks from more than a few professionals who are on the same wavelength as me and most of you. They believe, based on so much conflicting evidence, that the COVID vaccine is going to be a crapshoot. They're afraid that the cure will be worse than the disease. We just won't know until there's a long enough passage of time. And that's the problem. Vaccines need double-blind tests that last for years and years. Well, that ain't going to happen. So then the bottom line? If you're totally against vaccinations of practically any kind, and that's the camp I happen to be in, and remember, I'm not just shooting from the hip. I have a degree in electrical engineering and biomedical engineering. So I think I know just a little bit more about biology than the average government COVIDiot, laying down the crazy-ass, ever-changing rules we're all supposed to follow. So the fact is, in the near future, we're all going to be forced to carry around a COVID proof of vaccination card or form, or we won't be able to travel, shop, mingle, or even take a shit in a public restroom. By the way, there's practically nothing I hate worse than taking a shit in a public restroom. Well, maybe there is. That'd be doing it in an airplane, John.
Yeah.
Or is it just me? How about you? But I digress. Where were we? Oh, yeah. So in a way, you should thank Buddha for ubiquitous Latin American inefficiencies, laziness, and bureaucratic corruptibility. The fact is, down here, no matter what you need, everyone knows a guy who knows a guy. And usually the first guy you want to talk to when you want to find a guy that knows a guy is your personal lawyer. So you better have one. Because believe me, down here, you're not going to be able to walk into just any old lawyer's office, someone you don't know, someone you've got no relationship with. I mean, really, I don't think you're going to introduce yourself and say, "Hey, counselor, you don't know me, but I was wondering," and this is not quite on the up and up, "but you see, I'm in a bind. I need someone who might be able to bend the rules a little bit for me." Well, what do you think he's going to say? Well, if he doesn't know you, he's probably going to say, "Can't help you, pal. After all, you are an unknown quantity to him." But if he knows you and you're a client of his, he just might say, "I know a guy who knows a guy." And you know, I've seen this scenario many times. For example, let's say a gringo or expat in a particular Latin country doesn't have a driver's license. Say he lost his Ohio license or it expired. Well, I've seen guys walk into their lawyer's office and say, "Look, I really need a valid driver's license." Sooner or later, the cops are going to pick up on that and I'll be screwed. And that's the rule, you know, you can't get a legal driver's license in Latin America unless you've got residency. Yeah, well, it doesn't hurt to ask your lawyer if there's some way around that. Because if you've got a good relationship with your lawyer, he will usually know a guy who knows a guy, if you know what I mean. And I predict it's going to be exactly the same way with the COVIDiot proof of vaccination card or form that everyone's going to be required to carry. Though I want to make it clear right now that I don't want to be the conduit for any of that kind of activity, but I know what's going to be going on in a big way. That said, for any of you guys or gals coming to my 2021 Expat Insider Seminar, if you're wondering or are just curious about that kind of thing, I'm sure you'll run into a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy. Enough said about that. Again, I'm not advising you to do anything illegal, but since the name and the theme of this show is the Expat Files Living in Latin America, it is my duty to let you all know what certain gringos and expats actually do when they're confronted with certain sticky problems. And let me tell you, most of the sticky situations you might run into can sometimes be unstuck by your lawyer, who knows a guy who knows a guy. It's not like hearing the same thing from some scruffy gringo in an expat bar, who just might be setting you up for a scam. That's why I say it's never good to do what so many cheapskate expats and backpackers do, who always seem to be chasing down the lowest bidder just to save a few nickels. They use one lawyer for residency, one to set up an SA corporation, another to set up a bank account. They use another when they're buying a piece of land or property. Turns out a lot of gringos, expats, especially backpackers, are price shopping lawyers all the time. And I can tell you from experience, that's the wrong way to go about it, especially since lawyers' fees here in Latin America can be 20%, even less, of what you'd pay for the same services up in the States. All right, speaking of getting out of the Dodge and the advantages of getting out of the Dodge, comes this article that just came out today from Michael Schneider on Zero Hedge. And I'll paraphrase this to cut out the boring parts. It says, "In all of U.S. history, we've never seen anything like the mass exodus of 2020, where hundreds of thousands of people are leaving major cities on both coasts in search of a better life." Then it says, "Homelessness, crime, and drug use were already on the rise in many of the large cities, but many big city residents were willing to put up with a certain amount of chaos in order to maintain their lifestyles. However, the COVID-19 pandemic and months of civil unrest have finally pushed many people over the edge. Moving companies on both coasts are doing a booming business as wealthy and middle-class families flee at a blistering pace, and most of these say they will never plan on returning. Los Angeles and California in general are perfect examples. Once upon a time, it attracted wealthy and famous people from all over the world. Now, California cities are on the brink. Now, you see for sale signs dotted on every suburban street, in the middle classes and upper middle classes, particularly with those families hoping to flee for the safer suburbs, with many leaving LA, San Francisco, and California permanently, with moving and storage companies saying there's a mass exodus right now from none other than Hollywood. There's also a mass exodus of people out of San Francisco, where inventory, new listings to hit the market, have jumped 96% over the same period last year, as a flood of new home listings hits the market every day. But it's not just California. According to recent data from United Van Lines Moving Company, between May and June, there was a 95% increase year over year in moves out of Manhattan, New York, with the once bustling city of New York now on the verge of looking like a demilitarized zone. Between the pandemic and the riots in the city, it's looking more like a dystopian nightmare, with most businesses boarded up. But you knew that already, right? Just a question. How long have I been saying it's time to get the hell out of Dodge? 10 years now? You know, you're never a hero and you never get respect when you're ahead of the curve. And now practically every email I get has within the first paragraph somewhere the phrase, "Johnny, you were right." You think I should get some I told you so t-shirts and business cards printed up? Nah, that'd be gauche. Hey, I don't want to be right. I just want to live and maintain a nice first world standard of living. And I'll never be able to do that up in the United States. That's why I'm here in Latin America. But you knew that already too, didn't you? So again, the question I ask on every show is, how's that plan B coming? Are you heading for the lifeboats or are you resigned to going down with the Titanic? Well, you know, the easiest and fastest way to get a head start on that plan B is to come down to my Expat Insider Seminar. The next one starts Friday, January 8th, 2021. Have a look at the agenda and the sign-up sheet at expatplanb.com. I know it's a ways away, about 4 months from the date this show goes out. Today's show date, August 21st, 2020, with the seminar starting Friday evening, January 8th, 2021, and ending Thursday night, January 14th. So it's a little over 4 months away, and I had to plan it that way. We know by then, anyway, things will have slipped into the new normal, whatever that is. By then, the chaos and the COVIDiot stupidity will have subsided, and we should be in a reasonable pattern by then. If not, then we're all doomed, huh? So come to the seminar, get a 2 to 5 year head start on your plan B, hook up with me and my expat network. Check it out. Go to expatplanb.com. Sign up soon and get in on those early bird discounts. And for you single travelers, if you're interested in saving $750 off the single price, I can hook you up with a same-sex roommate. By the way, down here in Latin America with lag time and full gear, we still have only two sexes. How about that? Male and female. What a concept. Oh, and speaking of getting out of Dodge and the collapse and chaos of big cities up in the States, addressing that very point comes this email from Expat Insider attendee Dave. Who knows what a pain in the ass it is to live in California, because that's where he is right now. He says, "Johnny, as you mentioned in the show, as part of my plan B, I too know that it's necessary to leave California for at least a year before getting out of Dodge completely." By the way, Dave is talking about the fact that you have to establish residency in another state other than California if you leave the country, or you end up paying California taxes the rest of your life. I mentioned that on the last show. Anyway, he says, "Johnny, you're right. The latest thing from California government is to tax people even if they leave California, just like the feds do with U.S. citizens. They tax your worldwide income. In fact, California tax collectors are more notorious than the IRS. The California version of the IRS is called the State Board of Equalization. Could there be a more communist name than that?" Then he says, "For you Texans who complain that Californians are moving to Texas and turning Texas into California, the fact is that Trump won some Texas counties in the election because of the California transplants. Without former Californians in Texas, that pus-filled maggot bag Hillary would have taken Texas." By the way, that was me, Johnny, who injected the pus and the maggot thing there. Then Dave says, "Oddly enough, and it does make sense, many Texans come to California, and they're coming for the government jobs. And I believe Texans are making their state liberal all by themselves by electing globalist governors such as George W. Bush and Rick Perry. All the best to you, Johnny. Dave from San Diego, the wealthier suburb of Tijuana." Well, thanks for that, Dave. All right, now let's stick with the subject of COVIDiots. And of course, they're not all idiots. There are some very smart people who are just dying to get the vaccine. Did I say dying? Little Freudian slip there. For example, my very smart mother, who's around 90 years old right now. She's the one, you know, who goes into the voting booth and doesn't select individual candidates. She just pulls that Democrat lever and selects them all. A lot of very senior citizens do that, you know. Because, like her, they still believe that the Democratic Party is the party of the Kennedys. Somehow they can't get that Camelot era out of their minds. They don't want to believe, like the Republicans, that Democrats are completely corrupt. That's the mindset of the grandmothers from the World War II greatest generation. Even though the logic is all wrong, I can understand where they're coming from. Think of it this way. The music you like and love and will always like and love were the hits that were in the charts when you were between the ages of about 14 and 25. And even though you're 40, 50, 60, 70 years old right now, that's still the music you love and cling to. The stuff that always gives you a warm, nostalgic, fuzzy feeling. And even though there are millions of lemming COVIDiots out there, there are millions of very smart people, especially older very smart people who are just chomping at the bit to get that vaccine. Like my very smart mother, who I've had this conversation with, yet she still gets the flu vaccine every year. She, along with her 70, 80, and 90-ish friends, I call the Widows Club. And get this, nearly every one of them still gets the flu every year. And when I bring that up to my smart mother, she says, yes, I do get the flu, but I'm sure it's an attenuated version of it. She thinks getting the shot makes the flu less severe. On a biological basis, that makes no sense. Go ahead, look it up, do some research, and you'll find that if you're actually being protected by a vaccine, your body's immune system will take care of it before you get any overt signs. Duh. For example, if you get a smallpox vaccination, which we all got when we were little kids, and most of us have that little crater pock on our arm to prove it, well, if my smart mother's erroneous logic prevailed, that would mean at some point or another, most people would get smallpox light. But no, that doesn't happen. You got the one pock mark and that's it. Which, by the way, happens to be one of the very few vaccinations that actually works and does what it's supposed to do. Don't take my word for it. Look it up. But you know, no matter how devastating this COVIDiot thing is, the psychology of it, the effects it's had on society and the financial world, etc., nothing bad, you know, comes without at least one or two positive effects. For one, people stuck at home, bored with not much to do, often get to those do-it-yourself cleanup, plumbing, electrical, and home repair projects they've been putting off for years. But I can think of another positive effect that seems to be exclusive to Latin America. People are actually learning to tighten up on the mañana time thing. Instead of being 2 or 3 hours late for an appointment, they've cut that down to an hour or so. And that's, of course, because of the lockdown and the quarantine. When the government says you have to be off the road by 5, 7, 9, whatever number they pick, well, for the first couple of weeks, mañana time prevailed. People were still on the road, ambulating and wandering around hours beyond the deadline. But now, after a couple of months and lots of warnings in the press and in the media about fines and such, Latinos are actually starting to fall in line. They're respecting the quarantine lockdown hours. Oh, there are still some stragglers, all right. And the cops and government slugs are extremely lenient. Still, this quarantine lockdown thing has affected the mañana time attitude like nothing I've ever seen before in my 30 years down here. And that's a good thing. Because, you know, although the concept seems quaint, mañana time, that means everyone's going to be a little late for everything. Believe me, for many successful gringos and expats who left the first world to live in Latin America, people who always valued time and promptness, well, that mañana time thing, it's something gringos and expats complain about the most. But it's so ingrained and so part of society. It did take a big chaotic event like this COVID thing to shake them out of it, or partially shake them out of it. And it has, in the time is money respect, kind of dragged Latin America kicking and screaming into the 20th century where time is money. Notice I said 20th century. Meanwhile, have you noticed in this COVIDiot crisis, no matter what country you're talking about, the supply of government and healthcare idiots and morons far outstrips the demand? Though I guess that's to be expected, because even if you're an average guy, that means every other person you pass on the street is dumber than you are. God, the thought of that just drives me nuts. And I was always a kind of glass half full guy, too. Though not about the world and the people who run it, that's for sure. But about me taking responsibility for my own life. All right, changing gears, but not so much. What about gringos and expats living here in Latin America who do contract corona? Well, we've got a longtime listener who's going to tell us all about that. Because he got hit himself. Listen to this. This email comes from Robert. He says, hola, Johnny, from a bit farther north in the magnificent morning chill of the Altiplano. I'm in Oaxaca, Mexico, 5,000 feet in elevation. I just caffeined up on freshly ground local coffee, and I'm ready to share my own experience actually getting COVID-19 down here amongst full-blown COVIDiot local paranoia gone truly mad. You see, Johnny, after getting pretty disgusted with the ignorant locals overreacting with such daily blunt-headed actions as roadblocks, making me get out of my van while they spray the inside with bleach water or whatever mixture they're using, then you've got those bored security guards and rent-a-cops at the mall yielding pistol-grip laser thermometers, like beer-bellied Captain Kirks with Toys R Us phasers. Though I know you, Johnny, laid out the local ignorance so well. Anyway, with all the morons running around throwing logic to the wind, I decided to throw social distancing caution to the wind as well and stop being paranoid myself. and given a healthy dose of your aforementioned gringo predilection for internet research and realizing that eventually all of us will be exposed to this apparently lab-tweaked micro-booger, even as it seems to be losing its potency overall due to mutations over time. Well, that said, I gave up on any serious mask wearing besides what it takes not to inflame the ignorant down here. Occasionally, I even hopped an inner-city bus here to the state capital, too. Funny how in buses it's social distancing be damned. Meanwhile, since this chaos started, I was dosing up with small weekly doses of chloroquine, which is fairly well proven as an antiviral drug along with zinc. I did that just to have a bit of a barrier in case I did get nailed with a virus. Oh, and by the way, Johnny, with absolutely no side effects, as the chloroquinone is well proven for over 70 years as a potent anti-malarial drug with almost no downside if you use it responsibly. However, it struck and I did get nailed. The classic signs of shortness of breath, fever, malaise, sore throat, and dry cough. So I upped the chloroquine dosage to the regimen doctors are having good luck with globally. All the while wondering what direction this whole shebang was going to go. Whether the invaders trying to nest in my lungs were going to go on and make a total nest in there or not. It's the usual paranoia when dealing with a lab experiment that's gone off the rails, and conflicting intel and symptoms reported from all over the globe. Who do you believe? Flip a coin. So then did I end up in an ICU with a $30,000 ventilator bill? Nope, it was the usual 10 to 12 days of getting over it, and I was well. But during all this, I have asked locals here if they have any friends or family who have gotten COVID-19, and surprisingly few have answered yes. Or maybe it's because no one has the numbers because tests are expensive here, and apparently with the accuracy of a cross-eyed sniper. Then, one amigo of mine said his daughter had been nailed with the virus and got over it by going on the natural route of mixing up a pot full of local herbs and garlic and onions and throwing a blanket over her head twice a day and breathing in the mixture deeply. It's not voodoo, Johnny. It's classic antivirals grown locally, and apparently it worked for her in the same 12-day window that ran for me. But get this, Johnny, my friend added, it's very important not to bathe at all during that treatment. That's some of the indigenous local folklore tossed in for good measure, so I guess there is a touch of voodoo. Oh, and Johnny, as you've mentioned a few times over the years, I'm drawn to the slightly eccentric locals over the mainstream, fairly shallow types, otherwise known as gringo wannabes. Turns out the somewhat oddball, non-traditional, more open-minded folks down here, I'm drawn to them because they have a slightly more Latin spicy slant on life. I find them intriguing and worth a bit more of my precious old guy time. I'm talking about the time I have left on old Tierra Firma. So, Johnny, my final takeaway is that this virus, COVID-19, is real but not to be feared. Most folks will shrug it off easily, and old baby boomer dudes like me will have a bit of a tougher time for sure, but still. Just don't let the virus turn from a brush fire into a raging forest fire. Just douse it with a little chloroquine and zinc, or use the local antiviral herb treatment. It may last 2 weeks, so no matter what they say, do take a bath. And now, as a result of beating the thing myself, I forget the mask and social distancing protocols a lot. Though when I'm out and about, the locals seem to be immersed in more paranoia than ever about it. Subconsciously, it's a relief that I've had it. It's behind me. Though it takes even more gringo patient skills not to be irritated by the cloud of pandemic ignorance I see all around me here. Oh well, they don't call them COVIDiots for nothing. Now, there's a thought. COVIDiot bumper stickers, t-shirts, and masks could go viral. And Johnny, thanks again for the great info. 6 years down here in Oaxaca, Mexico, and still listening weekly and learn something new and useful all the time from someone much farther down the expat experience rat hole than me. Wait a minute, did he say rat hole? No, it was me. He said rabbit hole. So, Johnny, best wishes from Oaxaca, a somewhat temporary oasis of peace in a Mexico that's slowly descending into a failed state. Signed, Robert. Well, Robert, thanks for that report. Glad to see you shook it. By the way, I know two other expats living south of the border that also got the COVID thing. They recovered quickly within a week, and they said it was nothing more than a medium to a medium well case of the flu. And here's the prophylactic regimen they were on. And by the way, this is what I'm on too. Been on it for months now. 3 grams of vitamin C a day, 200 milligrams of zinc, 200 micrograms of selenium, 5,000 international units of vitamin D3, a gram of magnesium citrate, and a gram of shaga mushroom extract. And I get all that stuff from Amazon, because the local health food stores here in Latin America that have imported vitamin and mineral products are ridiculously expensive. Why? Because they cater to the wealthy and upper-class gringo wannabe crowd, who will spend stupid amounts of money just because it's the gringo thing to do. I'm not kidding. I've been to many upper-middle-class and wealthy Latinos' houses. I've walked into their kitchens, and I see on the counter 5 or 6 bottles of vitamins and minerals with the GNC label on them. And I'm sure most of you listeners out there know, GNC is not the place smart people buy their vitamins and supplements. In fact, they're 3, 4, 5 times as expensive as getting them directly off Amazon. Oh, and by the way, there's a company called Bulk Supplements. You get them on Amazon, too. They've got something like 200 different vitamins and minerals. Not in jars or cans, but resealable packs. And some of this stuff is 5 times cheaper because you're buying it in powder form by the ounce, pound, and kilo. The only thing is, a lot of people are used to pill and capsule form, so you got to measure the stuff out with gram and milligram measuring spoons. But man, will you save the dough. I've been buying that stuff from Bulk Supplements through Amazon for years now. Have a look and you'll see what I mean. And sure, you can go to their website. I don't make anything off of this, but you actually can get them cheaper on Amazon. Again, just for your information. Oh, and another thing, just for your information, I'm always getting listeners asking for the instructions for my under-counter water purification system. You know, the permanent system with 3 canisters that sits under your kitchen sink and supplies pure water through a spout you install right next to your regular faucet. Oh, and it's well under $100 to set the whole thing up. Until now, I've only had the instructions on how to assemble a thing, but by popular demand, I took photos of my system the other day. So, if you want to see my actual setup, send me an email, thexpetfiles@gmail.com, and I'll send you photos and instructions on how to set one up yourself, so you can see exactly how I did it. Oh, and by the way, I said it consists of 3 canisters. First a sediment filter, then a ceramic filter, then a carbon block filter. You'll see in the photo between each canister is a quick disconnect, so you can take the whole thing apart in something like 30 seconds, in case you want to change the filters or just want to disassemble it and take it to your next place to install. Oh, and I almost forgot. There's one more possible advantage of this COVID thing, and that would be maybe, just maybe, Latinos will start placing their used toilet paper in the toilet instead of the trash can. Wouldn't it be nice if that bad habit were relegated to the waste bin of history? Wait a minute, we want the TP in the toilet, not the waste bin, even if it's the waste bin of history.
South of the border.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.